So for the guys that didn't join last week, Yaku, wie is daar nog, oom Wim, we decided to have this morning a strategy session, not necessarily a podcast making session. Freek, jy kan besluit wat jy wil doen. Because we started touching on a very important subject and we wanted to give it we want to try and attempt to give it the time and the seriousness that it requires, and that is discipleship. So this morning, I see that we are going to have a strategy session. How are we going to handle discipleship and the discussion around discipleship for the next couple of weeks? Are we all still in on that? So yes, I think it needs to be a nice open discussion. I wonder if I can ask Freka, will you open in prayer for us, please?
Father, thank you for a new day that we can make a decision this morning to fully live for you, to be full on fire for you, and that our desire will be your desire, and that we will be obedient to your big command to make disciples. Father, it's such an important topic, not even a topic, a command, a mission that we are discussing, and we pray that you will lead us and that you will guide us, Holy Spirit, and that you will speak as you want us to speak, what you want us to speak about, and that everything that we talk about this morning around the table, that we will talk about your heart and your desire for you, for mankind. Father, we know that the signs all over the world are there that we are ending closer and closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that there's still time to get people to Christ, to help people to surrender their lives to Christ. And we thank you, Father God, for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Freek. You know who I am not seeing this morning is Anthony. And he's also a vital part of this discussion.
He just came
hopefully
up.
He'll... Okay, awesome. I must say this morning as well, I was showering and shaving and all very peaceful. And then I looked at my watch and said, oh, it's 10 to 6. So I overplayed my hand a little bit, but I made it in time. yeah, sometimes on Thursday mornings, you know, I don't know if you guys have the same experience, but early, 3 o'clock, sometimes a little bit earlier, I feel the Spirit just speaking to me about the journey that we're going on this morning. And Peter, this morning I was thinking about, I don't know if you remember, many years ago, I asked you to do let me do Holy Communion together with the group. I think it was our first December together, and closing down, we did communion together. And I asked you, because this could be a very sensitive subject, as you know, it was a special day for me because my father was with me and my son was with me. And I mean, my son was at that stage, he must have been 14. And I said to him, you know, this is going to be a difficult one for a guy out of an Inhia background to do communion before you at the right age. Freek, there's a Anthony and Wim, please mute your speakers. And you said, don't worry, Menzo, I've got it. You know, I'll handle it. And you came from the angle of let's ride together. Let's go on the journey together. You know, and it is that that commitment to each other before we ride off. Our commitment to Jesus, that we are dependent on him. And you based the communion that we did together on that journey. And this morning I was just thinking about that journey. And we're starting a new journey today. You know, where we make a commitment to each other that we're going to go over the horizon into the unknown, for some of us it will be the unknown, and we are going to live this adventure and learn and see new things. So that is my hope for what we are strategy planning for this morning and the journey that we take for however many weeks it takes. And I have to be honest, I am not, I don't think we should put a time limit on this. I think this is such an important subject that if it takes us the next 5 years, then it's okay. Yeah. And I think this is what we're up for discussion this morning. You know, how are we going to do this? So yes, I would love to have every single one here's input this morning on how do we tackle this, lekker swinkie wat daai jakkie daar kry. How do we tackle this journey, and what is the width of it? You know, what is the bandwidth of discipleship? You know, and I think that's an important one, because I realized last week that we all have a different aspect of this that we've got questions about or maybe want to discuss. And so yes, let's have the discussion. My just to kick off. And I think that is maybe a good place to start. Let's just go down the list. Let's hear everybody's interpretation of what discipleship is. And maybe if I can ask that, firstly, your what you think discipleship is, and then secondly, what would you like to learn from this experience? Because that day when we had communion together, Peter made a very shared a wise idea with us, and that is, some of us are better riders than the other ones. You know, let's say we're going on this journey, we're on our horses, and we're going into the frontier. Some of us are better riders than others. Some of us are younger than the others. We've got more energy. Some of the guys are, you know, so it's important that we accommodate each other in this process. And of course, the value, Anthony, I was worried that you're not going to join this morning. Glad you're here. Morning. You know, because what is that voice of questions that is not in our group that will be coming our way? So I think each of us, if you don't mind, two questions. Jaco, because you came in late in this, you know, we had a whole discussion about it last week. I'm going to ask you sort of so that you can put your thoughts together. But what is discipleship for you, and what would you like to learn out of this? And I'm going to ask him, Henry, if you can kick off with us on this one, please.
And yes, when thinking about that, maybe three things, just small little things that I see as very important with discipleship. First, John chapter 13, when Jesus was in the Last Supper, the room for the Last Supper, at the beginning of that, everybody's together. And it says there, I've now got the Afrikaans Bible, John 13, verse 1, omdat hy wist dat sy uur gekom het. I think I've mentioned this several times. He realized that his hour had come, this very important hour that was the central hour in history of mankind from beginning to the end. What he was going to do on the cross of Calvary, his hour had come. Then it says in verse 3, omdat hy wist dat die Vader alles in sy hande gegee het. He knew that the Father had given everything in his hands. He could do whatever he wanted to. If he decided not to go through with this, he could go through this. If he decided to wipe out mankind, that's how much power he had in his mind, in his hands. And then the third one, dat hy van God uitgegaan het en na God heengaan. He knew who he was. He was very God, a very God. Three powerful things. No man has had so much power in his hands. What does he do with all of that power? The next verse says he got up from the meal, took his outer coat off, and started washing his disciples' feet. So he did the most powerful thing that could ever be done. He served. And we must realize that servanthood, a disciples making, isn't being the big important guy that now is teaching others. Jesus showed us here that discipleship making is all about servanthood. And when he finished, he said to his disciples, "Do you realize what I've done for you? I've taught you how to do it. You are to be servants." So servanthood is the start of discipleship. We're not coming here as great leaders and important people. We just come here as servants. And then the second thing, interesting, we mentioned in communion. Last night we had a discussion with a group that we're ministering to here. And they were discussing communion and when should we have communion and so on. And I just thought, you know, there's a thing. You also mentioned Holy Communion. The Bible never calls it Holy Communion. It just calls it communion, you know, sharing bread and wine together. There's been a thing in the religious circles that has made Holy Communion means of control. You can only have Holy Communion when an important person, the domine or an elder that has been specially ordained for the task, can do it. No, they did it from house to house in the scriptures. They served one another. And we must get away from this idea that it's only the important people that can do this. This is loving, caring disciple makers, disciples having communion together and serving one another. Those are two of the important things. I'm forgetting the third one I wanted to mention, but the third one is as disciple makers, we are also yet to learn. We don't come as important person that knows everything. We all have lots to learn. And down the path, as you're making disciples, you are also going to learn. And we must all open our heart to say, "Lord, what can I learn from you?" Because some old bunny somewhere is going to say something. You suddenly realize, wow, she's got a wonderful truth. Yeah, and I can learn from that, you know. So, servanthood. Not important people. We come here just to serve, and we are all learning in the process. So there's three thoughts.
Thank you, Menri. That was powerful, sweet, and short. I think if we need to get through today, let's keep it short. Sue, my apologies. Actually, it's ladies first. So I'm going to ask you to just give us your thoughts next, if you don't mind, please.
Good morning. I think for me, the biggest thing is to walk alongside that person. I think it was Freek had mentioned so often when he had an opportunity to speak in the jails or the schools or whatever, that you kind of feel like you bring the message. It makes a big impact on somebody's lives, and then you have to leave the people, but hopefully to be able to leave them in the hands of somebody who can disciple them. Like, a critical part of our journey is to walk with somebody who can disciple you. It's not the end. The minute you give your life to Christ, then the discipleship starts, the learning, the new life. So from two aspects, either both for us to be the mentor for somebody who's learning, and also for us to walk that disciple walk ourselves with somebody else. Very, very important parts of our growth. That's my bit this morning. A very important part is to walk with that new person, to teach them that new life. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Sue. I agree with you. The massive privilege of having time to walk together. You know, the longer that time, the better the teaching. And okay. Now, age before beauty. Peter, give us your thoughts, please.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Firstly, I just want to add to Freek's, what's it, an acronym or something about fat disciples. And I just want to say, let's make it fast disciples. Faithful, available, servant-hearted, teachable. Now, the reason why I say that in John 8:31, I just want to put out a bit of a caveat here, a bit of a warning in John, because that's what my surname is. So it's my job to bring warning. 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, yeah, but we are offspring of Abraham and have never been a slave to anyone. How can you say? And you see, he's speaking to the Jews, Jews of Abraham's line. What you abide in, and this is the danger for us as disciple makers, what you abide in is what you become. You see, they had all the Jewish belief. They'd read all the Torah, all the prophets, all the everything. But they were focusing on that. And so they missed Jesus standing right in front of them. And so there's a challenge to us. We might have all the knowledge under the sun, but we're not to disciple them with knowledge. We've got to disciple them with Jesus, with a relationship with Jesus. And that has to be part of our primary focus. They can get knowledge anywhere. They can read books and we can refer them to books. But more than that is, are you fast? Can they see it in your life? Are you faithful? Are you available? Jesus, always readily available, approachable. Always, always. We tried to get, I was trying to get the ministers together in town. And the one guy, he said, no, I'm the local apostle. You have to make an appointment to see me and it will take you 3 months. And I said, okay, pal, you're on your own. So that's it. Fast. And you can read and have all the knowledge. But if you're abiding somewhere else, maybe you're abiding in politics or in sport or in finances or whatever, where your heart is, what your heart is what you're going to teach your disciple. And that's got to be, we can never disciple unless we are constantly climbing onto that potter's wheel of our own will and saying, Lord, search my heart and fix me. So there we go. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Mbeno, can I ask you next, please?
Thank you, Menzo. You will remember that I asked that we should allow for some questions. Now, the question that I have is within myself, and I depend on this group to get some of the answers of my concerns. And here's, I have a couple of questions. The first, most important question is what I'm trying to make out for myself, the definition of discipleship. You will remember that there are quite a few occasions where the Lord said to his followers, leave whatever you've got, sell whatever you've got, and follow me and go to the corners of the earth and bring the gospel as I taught you, which seems to me the correct way in talking to those followers of his. In other parts, the Bible teaches us that when we do some work, and whatever work we are doing, we should be loyal and we should do the work in particular way to bring the knowledge that we've got and be loyal to our employer and do the best you can. So here's the question that I have that I'm trying to make out for myself. What does it mean, being made a disciple? Does it mean that all of us should become disciples, leave whatever we've got, sell whatever you've got, follow him, and go and teach the gospel to the corners of the earth? Which to me says that's a full-time job. What happens to the work that I'm doing? What happens to the thousands of people that must make sure that there's bread on the table and looking after their families? So this is an anomaly which I'm battling with, which I don't understand. My second question is that, what is our strategy with what we're trying to do today? Is it that we are trying to create a forum in preparation for a podcast so that it can go to Freek and become part of his gospel radio as a podcast? Or is it that we are going to create our own podcast? I am not sure exactly what we are strategizing for. And my third question is, if we are all committed to each other and all committed that we are becoming apostles, not all of us are trained in the gospel of the word to know exactly what we are talking about. We all, not all that equipped to be able to do that. So it means that I'm going to have to make sure that there's training for myself, or being part of a institute or a organization where I will get this training and make sure that I understand what exactly does it mean being a disciple. Those are my questions. I'm not asking particularly for an answer right now. I'm not sure, Menzo, how this will progress in our strategy, if these answers will be answered as we go along. But I leave that up to you. Thank you, Menzo.
Thank you, Mbina. Sure. Powerful questions, heavy stuff. And I think they're all very, very valid questions. Atman, I see you put your hand up, so you obviously want to be next. So go for it.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to put some light on the first question from Benno about when Jesus called disciples, saying, leave everything and follow me. As he said also, yeah, you need to be loyal and committed. For me, the Lord called me whilst I was still in prison. I was just looking now in my diary, the date, the verse, how he called me. But when I came out of prison, I had nothing. I had only the clothes on my body. I had to start anew. So for me, it was not that I could just say, I want to go out now and serve the Lord. I had to come out. I was sure of my calling. I came out and I had to work for 10 years to How will you serve the Lord? For example, for me, if I just started to serve the Lord, I don't have a house. I don't have anything. I had to work hard for 10 years. And when the Lord gave me everything, and he reminded me again and called me on that same word, I said, yes, Lord, here I go. So from person to person, God has a special purpose, and we cannot see that like literally just leave everything and follow him. We have a place in our workplace making disciples. We have other areas in the community where we can disciple, even in the church. So that is, I just want to put some light. We can discuss it further on that first question from Benno. Then for me, I will take my chance also now for me, what is discipleship? I'm always looking at the word of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second verse, where he's saying, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. So the discipling structure of Paul there, he discipled Timothy and he encouraged him to disciple others. That is one of my principles in discipling. Thank you so much, everyone.
Sure, thank you, Atman. Freek, I'm glad you're recording this because I'm trying to make notes, but the ideas is coming so fast that I'm not keeping up. My shorthand is too slow. So we'll go back and listen to this. And I think while we're listening, and I'm going to ask Mbeno to help me with this because he's a very good strategist. Mbeno, if we can listen to this recording later and just make just lay it out a little bit into breaking it up into questions and definitions and stuff like that, so that we can get some correlation of what we're discussing. That will be great. So, yes, thank you, Atman. Samuel, will you? I know you might have to leave early, so can you quickly give us your two things, please?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. Okay, my first thought is a disciple of discipleship is the process of learning to become. When we look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So in the real sense, that word follow me, when we look deeper, okay, it doesn't only mean on the physical that Jesus has to walk in front and then the disciples have to follow at the back. But the word out and I will make you point us to a certain action that Jesus has to take. In other words, to teach them, to show them what to do, to instruct them so that they have also to do exactly what Jesus has done. So when I am now beginning to disciple someone, then I am not done with the process to disciple that person until that person has also to do what I have taught him to do. So many a times people speak of discipleship, but they have no clue and they didn't even fulfill that process of discipleship. So at the end of the day, a person who has been discipled is still a seeder. and not a goer. So people in today's life, especially here in Namibia, what I saw is they are disciples. And some of them, or many of them, don't miss the attendance because they are encouraged with the word of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. You must not stay away from the gatherings. So the 365 days in a year, people just go and sit and hear the preaching or the teaching. That's all. So after the gatherings, when we go out, they go out to their houses and carry on with their usual task of living without reaching out to the lost in their communities. It was so interesting last Sunday when I was at the prison. As the prison warder was not taking me to the unit, and as we go through the corridors, but then I heard noise from different directions. And I asked, now it's not singing. The barasam, I heard brothers are singing. And I asked him, oh, are we going to that unit? And the warder said, no, we are going to the other one. And something clicked in me. So the words with which I always left the inmates, I told them, listen, even if you don't receive visitors from outside, don't just be there. You must have a church service and you must carry on with what you see I'm doing. I am coming here and we are together, but the days that I am not here, you must also have leaders among yourself who will lead the services, and there must be services. So what I'm trying to say is that that prison was not like that. But today I see that almost in every unit, there is a church service and brothers encourage one another. And it take me years back when I was in the prison where we was every day having church service. So in conclusion and in short, discipleship is the process of learning to become like your master. Thank you, Menso, and everybody.
Thank you, Samuel. Very valid point there. Patience to become. You know, don't fire off. And I wonder how much damage has been done by disciples that got saved, kicked off, went into a direction, and didn't have the foundation yet. This is a preparation process. Thank you, Samuel. Wim, I'm going to give you and Jaco chance last because that you just get up to speed a little bit. Anthony, can we ask your thoughts, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
For me, discipleship is, I just got to look at myself, what I want. Can't really give a definition of what I think discipleship is. But for me, it is to be a friend of God, for other people to see God in my life, for the fruits of the Holy Spirit to manifest through me into other people's lives, and to experience the overflowing Spirit of God inside of me. When God's voice calls, I want to be able to hear it. I want to be able to say, Lord, you've spoken, I hear, I'm coming. And that's all. Intimacy. I want to know God. Jesus died so that I can know his Father, and he's now my Father, and I want to know him. So I intently stare into the world, into the Word, and I listen with spiritual ears so that I can hear when he speaks. And I just want to be able to sit on his lap, because I don't know what it is to sit on someone's lap. So I want to know what it is to be a child in my Father's house. And that, to me, is discipleship. And if other people around me can see that, and I'm a honeypot that draws people to God, then that's a benefit. That's an added bonus to me. But for me, I want to sit on my dad's lap. That's the only thing that's important.
Sure. Thank you, Anthony. Do you have any questions that you want to answer? Well, you said so. You want to hear God. Okay. Cool. I just want to make a note here. Thank you, Anthony. Freek, your turn.
Thanks, Menzo. Yeah, for me, discipleship, if I look at the word, there's a word springing out of it, discipline.
Correct.
We need to discipline them. And if you're not disciplined, I always tell them in prison, we can, because you're in a system here, but when you get outside, remember somebody, something, a man without self-discipline, he's a man in a prison without bars. You're going to destroy yourself. So, yeah, that's what I have in my heart for us, that we must focus also on discipline. Give them the truth, because the truth will set you free.
Thank you, Freek. Sure, what a powerful thing. Anthony, and I don't want to start a discussion now, so maybe I'm out of line here on that point. I'm available for disciplining. You know, if I am out of line, please discipline me. I believe that is one of the best ways to learn. And for discipline, for some people, might sound like a terrible thing to happen to you, but it's not. Discipline is a form of love. Definitely. And I am blessed to have it. And I see my dad still often. And I had a very stern. I have a very stern dad, even till today. You know, the other day I had to get hiding because I didn't take the time to design a set of steps properly. And he said to me, "Don't do that again. Break it down." You know, I'm 54 years old, but dad still to me, "Listen here, I'm not talking to you about this again. Break this down and do it again. You failed at doing a proper job. You know, somebody's going to get hurt." And it's not as if I did a poor job. It just wasn't perfect. He said, "Somebody's going to get hurt. And then you're going to blame yourself. Steps are dangerous things." Yeah. But it was love. And a person that didn't grow up with a father that disciplined them in love, think discipline is a bad thing. But discipline is a good thing. So, Freek, I take what you're saying seriously. I think I just want to put it out there. If I'm out of line, please, guys, I'm open for disciplining. It is a good thing for me. It's a good thing for you. It's a good thing for all of us. And I think we should all have that attitude of, you know, and you cannot teach without being disciplined. And you cannot learn without being disciplined. And you're absolutely right. Discipline, the more discipline you have, the more freedom you have. It's as simple as that. So definitely we're going to have a discussion about that one, Fred, maybe more than 1 week. Okay, so now I just want to get Wim. Would you give us your thoughts, please? You're on mute, Wim. Wim? One of them is sort of figuring it out. Yaku, can we go with you, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm feeling a bit challenged this morning doing the English thing before 8 o'clock. I'm just going to read my notes. I made them. So to engage with people close to you and share the good news by living it. Also, I wrote the road is narrow and the not easy to stay on. A lone ranger gets shot. We need each other. Basically, it's to help each other run the race. I also said that discipleship starts at home but doesn't stay at home. Then I tried Google quickly to look at the attributes of a disciple. Sacrifice, commitment, obedience, humility, teachability, faithfulness, love, perseverance, and willingness to serve. And that was my notes. Also, I said, yeah, discipleship to me is not evangelism. So I think some people might get a bit confused between the two.
I like that.
Can you see, hear me that's now?
Just give us a second. Just give us a second of him. Yaku, thank you. And words of wisdom that you had to catch up real quickly. I hope you will be able to find the time to do this journey with us. And I don't want to put you under pressure, but you've just proven that you should be part of this team, if that would be possible at all. Thank you, Yaku. Yaku, just the last point you made, and I didn't make a note here. Evangelism is not discipleship, that question. Okay. Do you have any questions that you want to have answered, Yaku?
Not currently, no.
Not currently. Okay, great. Okay, Wim, go for it.
Thank you. I have a little bit of academic answer here to the whole discussion here. Well, I struggle with the exact same situation in my life to ask, but if Jesus called you, what is he expecting of us? What is the behavior he expects of us? Now, the starting point for me is, if you look at all prophets in the Bible who had been called by God, the first thing is they had an extremely good relationship. So the whole process starts with me, where you have a relationship. So that from that point onwards, you can depart and pull parallels to whatever you do in life. Now, there's a theory in the academic world which speaks about the stratified system theory, where they say there's 7 levels of work, and doesn't matter if it's from less complex to more complex. But there's an 8th one that I couldn't find a good description what that level of work is. And I was purely bold, and God showed me that level is from where you pull the parallels. First, you have relations with God, and that is where you pick your normative, your ethics, and your spiritual level up, as per what the Bible says. And then you pull from that point parallels back to whatever you do. So God guides you in whatever you do, what you say, and how you act as a prophet or as someone who present him in the work we are doing right now and what we have discussed. Reading the book of Proverbs, I try to find out, but why is some people wise? What is the difference between a wise man and a non-wise man? And then there was clear as daylight, that fools are people who don't really act on the level where God wants them to act. They're non-teachable. You can give them training courses, you can put them in wherever he is, but if his mind is not right and his relationship is not right, no training will change his mindset and give him the needed skills. They say a wise man allows people to teach him. That's what the work of Proverbs is saying. A wise man allows other wise people or other people to help him and show him the road. So he's always teachable because his mindset is right and they have a relationship with God. And that relationship came from what Jesus promised us before he went up to heaven in the New Testament. He said to us, I will ask my Father to put a comforter, to leave a comforter behind, which is the Holy Spirit. And you will be able to do more than what I can do through life. Reading the book of Proverbs, I try to understand, and I suffer with that for quite a number of weeks. And one morning, early morning, it came to me as clear as daylight. What is a wise man? Because that was my question. How does he act? And us in the work we do here, the following helped me a massive amount, and I can put it on paper for you, Menzo. You must first get facts. When God sent you out, you know you have to go out. Don't be fearful. Let me explain to you why I say this. When Moses went to Pharaoh, he was afraid. He said, I stutter, stutter, I can't speak well. And God just said to him, go, I'll send your brother with you. And God sent his angels and the Holy Spirit ahead to help him there. I'm not going into the detail there, but his discussions with and his interaction with the Pharaoh is proof that the Holy Spirit was there as per God's promise in the New Testament. But now come the secret. You get your... To act in this notion where we prepare ourselves for bigger things. First thing, get your facts in context. This is what the book of Proverbs taught me. Secondly, your context gives you knowledge. Your knowledge in context gives you understanding, and your understanding gives you insight of what really is going on. And the moment you have that, you will be able to be, you will pick up the wisdom that Jesus speaks about, and you will be able to provide wise and meaningful feedback, and your activities and the way you interact with people will be that of a wise man. But more important, you draw it from what the biblical principles is and what God said to you always. Now, the moment you start to do that, it's not rules that you follow, but your gut feel as the way the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and He provide for you the teaspoonful of His grace to speak. That is the way I see the whole process. And in brief, discipleship to me is in real terms, return back to Jesus Christ, and all the rest that I discussed now will seriously follow. Because I struggle with the whole thing. If I go do the work of God, what do we want me to do? And this was the understanding I picked up to help me in interacting wherever I am.
Thank you, Wim. I appreciate that. I think there's a lot of questions there. I'm going to have to go back to the recording and listen to this.
I will be able to have discussions if you need this for further discussion. There's other information as well, but I gave you a brief overview of what I said. Of course, just as a closure, chapter 12 of John 12, chapter 26. John 12, chapter 6 says the following. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. And that is why I say you pull a parallel from Jesus back to what you are doing. With other words, what would Jesus do? And then you follow. And there is a promise. Follow me, I will be with you wherever you are. And that's why you start with a relationship building, so that He can provide the answers to you in whatever situation is through the promise of the Holy Spirit that will be with you.
Thank you, Mum. Peter, I see you've got your hand up.
Thank you. Bikkie van 'n warm patat, because this is strategizing. I said last week that we are, in my opinion, we have got disciples or people who think they are disciples within the church. And then we have those that are not yet saved or not yet in the church or are not part of church anymore. So we, in our strategizing, we're going to have to make place for all of these people. Now, those that are in the church, we already picked up on it this morning in what Henry said about diegene wat geleer is, communion is holy. There's a whole lot of religious fathers' traditions that have to be unlearned. And so that is going to be a challenge. I just want to come back to our Great Commission that we read so easily in Matthew 28, where He says, go and make disciples. Just in answer to Benno's question, you bloom where you are planted. You are already sent. You don't have to go to China to do the work of God. Go, therefore, make disciples all nations. This is everybody. This is every language, every color, every echelon of society. It's every single person that we are called to attend to. Baptizing them Now, there we've got issues of groot doop versus besprinkel. You see, those are issues that, I'm serious, this is, some people are looking through these sunglasses at the word discipleship, and they are filters that, and maybe they need a new prescription for their sunglasses. So judgment starts in the house of God. And so this is a swisakse waarom put dat. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe. Teaching. Now the teaching, we all know how long teaching takes. Teaching hasn't happened until the lesson has been learned and is being taught further. And I'll give an example of out of a church background. Jesus fed the 5,000. Then the guys come to him and say, do it again. He says, no, you do it. And so there's a delegation. But there's a delegation under supervision. If a young oak comes into the church and wants to lead worship on his guitar, hy gaan nie sonderdag in 'n groot diens begin nie. He's going to do his apprenticeship. He's going to start in the home cell. He's going to prove himself, prove his character and his heart. And then gradually he might be, and if he messes up on Sunday, he's back in the home cell. There's a coaching. There's a coaching, an ongoing accountability. Those are issues that we can deal with later. Just if you're making a note, there's a book called The 1 Minute Manager. If you can find that at all, it's a very thin book, but like with very thin books, it is very powerful. The 1 Minute Manager. It looks at the coaching, the discipling of that Jesus applied, of teaching. Coaching, delegation, accountability, and if necessary, pull it all back, start again. So the teaching to observe is the lifestyle that Sue is talking about. How many times do we forgive him? How many times? And that goes with, and there's ourselves as well, the disciple, and then in our capacity as the discipler. So these are a couple of massive divisions that I think we're going to have to strategize into. Just maybe help your thinking a bit, because this is it's a massive subject. I mean, you know, where do you start?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Where do we start? If you guys will allow me, I just want to give my thoughts on this. You know, I think the important or the definition of discipleship is that, or not the definition of discipleship, but one of the important parts of discipleship is to be able to speak the language that your disciple, the disciple will understand, and ask your teacher to speak the language that you can understand. You know, not all of us are at the same level and at the same from the same background. So it's important that we, like Jaco said, live that you can see and get the information that you can hear it. You know, let you can receive it in the right way or give it in the right way. And then I like the word, Peter, that you put in now, the coaching, because I suppose one can say disciple is a coach. I think it is important that when we disciple, that we also check the progress of the people that we teach. If there's no progress, you need to change your way that you're doing it. You know, is this person ready? Freek, that point that you mentioned, are the guys ready to be in this game, or do we need to go a couple of steps back where we begin? You know, begin at the right point. And I think there's one thing that is almost everybody mentioned here. If I, you know, and I would like to go back to this podcast and just have a look at it, Freek. But there's a factor of patience here. there's a factor of, hang on, build your foundation. Yeah. Patience is a valuable attribute to have when you want to become a disciple, not shooting from the hip and going in a direction. And then my question is, how much of what we are going to be talking about is going to affect the lives of the people that you work with? You know, discipleship is obviously your journey to heaven, helping you that journey. But it can also be your journey, assisting you with your journey here on earth. You know, we talk about the apprenticeship process in engineering, or becoming the guitar player in the church praise and worship team. You know, how much of what we are going to explore is going to influence your day-to-day life? Mbeno's question also to a certain extent, because I've got the same question as Mbeno. I've got two of the same questions as Mbeno, is how much is this going to involve your everyday walk on earth process? And then, of course, the big question here that we're going to have to deal with is one of the big questions that we're going to have to deal with is, what does it mean? Does it mean you drop everything and go and, like Peter said, go and disciple in China? Or what does that mean? What does that instruction from God mean? What does the instruction from Jesus mean in actuality, in fact? So that is my questions. Jaco, you had your hand up before Freek. Go for it.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify a statement I made when I said discipleship is not evangelism to me. So I just want to try and clarify it. What I mean by that is, it's not a hit and run. It's an actual commitment to help someone on his journey, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Jaco. I had a question mark there when you made the statement, because I wanted to ask you for some clarification. Thank you. Freek?
I wonder if I maybe can ask. I watched a movie last Sunday with my kids, The Forge. I don't know if you know about this movie. It's the guys that made Fireproof and Courageous and War Room. Now, this is the new movie that came out last, and it's all about discipleship. It's all about making disciples, about this young guy. Excellent, brilliant movie. And coming back to Amina's question about, must we all leave our jobs and go? No. The people that's working for you, it's your responsibility to disciple them. And this is a brilliant, brilliant movie about discipleship and mentoring and coaching, and really, really great movie.
Okay. I also, Fred, just have to add, we can now have a debate about the legitimacy of the Chosen, but I really enjoyed the Chosen series. To see the personal interaction between Jesus on earth and the disciples, you know, how, because it must have been similar to that, where they were this friendship relationship, you know, and that little piece specifically where they were playing in the water after the Pharisees said to them, they must go and wash themselves. I want to encourage you also to have a look at The Chosen with a critical eye, but it taught me something new as well. Okay, gentlemen, thank you, gentlemen and ladies, thank you very much for this morning. I think we've got a lot more questions on the table, but I think we will need to strategize some more, and we're not going to finish it today. So what I want to ask is maybe just make a couple of notes of what we discussed today for yourself. And then let's start at the beginning. I mean, I think and just help me with this one. I think the first discussion we should have is, what is a disciple? The definition of a disciple. Henry, do you agree with me that, would that be a good beginning, or are we beginning one or two steps in too early? Too quick? Are we missing a couple of steps? What is your guys' feelings there? Women, are you on mute?
Yeah. What is a disciple? The foundation that I try to emphasize, there's a foundation that has to be laid. And like my series on this, the circumcision of the heart, the foundation is, where do I fit in? We don't start with teaching others. We start learning our hearts to learn how can we improve. Is God maybe busy speaking to me about things in my life? Because if I can't hear, I don't have the authority to teach either.
Absolutely. I think, Umenri, it's going to be one of the next discussions as well, is how do I hear the Holy Spirit and the instructions? Because it is such a dangerous thing that you have made up your mind all by yourself that you're now a disciple and you're going to make disciples, but you've not heard, you've not gotten your instructions yet. You know, that is a dangerous game to play.
I just want to show you.
And that's where the unlearning has to happen.
Yes.
We made a note last week, basics of discipleship, learning to hear, discerning a good teacher.
Yes.
Because coaching is only one facet of discipling.
I've got a book that I've just completed, Learning to Hear. It's basically learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the emphasis in this book is, if I don't, if I'm not obedient, I've not heard. I've got to learn how to be obedient. So when God speaks to me, and God can speak to me through a person, through whatever, but I've got to have a heart of obedience, then I'm growing the skill of hearing, because the Lord will speak more and more as I obey more and more.
Menri, is that specific book ready for you can will you be able to send some out? Have you printed them?
I've printed them. Very okay. Pleased.
So I want to make a suggestion, and it is such a beautiful gesture that the person made that you wrote about this week, of sponsoring books for other people, regardless what the reason is. So. I want to say we are 10 people, all right? 8 people at the moment, but I think who's left? Wim is still here. There's Sue left and Samuel. If you guys are up to paying and making arrangements with Henry for the Pudo delivery, I will buy 10 books from you. Well, one for me as well. 11 books from you, Henry, and you can buy your own book. So 10 books again. So I'll if the guys want to just engage with them, Henry, and make arrangements for the transport, I will pay for the books, and I think that would be a good start, because I think that will be one of the discussions we will have, how to hear the Holy Spirit, sort of number, not too late and not too early. Number 3 or 4, round about there, so we can get some preparation done so long. So, because Peter, you actually just put out the first 4 sessions that we should have. But I think we have to start with the foundation, and also at the same time figuring out, are you a disciple or are you getting discipled? You know, where are you standing in the process? You know, and I think that's going to be a nice discussion to have, because I think all of us are in the process of either one of the two. You know, you're in the process of both. You're just on a slide, you know. I don't think you can ever be only a teacher. You will always also be a student.
I spoke
absolutely.
The church on Sunday about discipleship, and I just mentioned there that the scripture speaks about Christians. I think there's 3 mentions of the word Christian. of the word disciple and Koninkrijk, the kingdom, and so on. But disciples, disciple or discipler or disciples, it's about 270-something times. So it speaks about disciples much, much, much more than Christians. We're called disciples, and we never never actually become a discipler without constantly being a disciple. We always remain a disciple.
Okay, so definitely the discussion for next week. The foundation of discipleship, can we call it that? Okay, Frick, will you send the message out for us like that? And then we'll tackle it. So I think we're gonna realize that as we start with the themes and going through it, there will be more that will develop, and we've got a little bit of a strategy that we can work on now. Mbeno, I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of hand with that, and then we take it from there. Is everybody happy with that? I mean, this is a team effort. So, Frick, maybe you can just quickly give Mbeno some more clarity on what is the reason for this. What is, you know, for me, it is that we generate or build a library of podcasts that you can podcast or YouTube for people that can follow the process. You know, so it is generating a audio book of discipleship.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is with a podcast is you can always go back to it. It's like a book. You can go back to it. You can listen to it. You can stop. You can. So it's so powerful. I went to look before we started this morning that the average people are listening to our podcast on only the Transformation Table is always around 70. So there's more, there's even some 1,000, but saying to me there's 70 people average, 70, listening every week to the Transformation Table. So there's 70 people, let's say some of us, let's say 10 of us, around 50, 60 people that's already sitting busy. We are busy discipling them. And a lot of them are all over the world. Some of them are all over the world. I know in Dubai, I know in America, in Britain. So it's such a powerful tool. And if we start with this discipleship that we started with, that's going to help so much. And they will have the tools now to give it to somebody else and say, listen, but this is, listen to this. This is, it answered my questions. And that's why I said last week, it's important that we go on more on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, all the others, YouTube, to reach more people with the aim to disciple. It's like Jacques said, as an evangelist, it's the frustration for us to bring people to Christ, and you leave and you come back a while later and they're bigger devils than they were. You know, it's a shame to see. And I was sitting in a men's conference one morning, or a men's meeting in Bloemfontein, and a guy asked me afterwards, he said, what's happening to all these souls that's giving their lives to the Lord when you went to a prison or school? Are you doing the aftercare? And I said to him, does it bother you? And he says, yes. And I said, okay, then you need to do something about it. That's it. You need to be sitting back. It's nice to see somebody else do it. The command was for everybody. And if you're, your platform,
holy disc on
your platform, your
place of influence.
Yeah, yeah. Or your sphere, or what? Yeah, but place of influence is only one. You know, I've been walking with a guy for over 12 years. His name is David Tsepo-Manyatso, Davy. And I always wondered, yes, I saw all these guys having so many disciples, and I had Davy. But I learned something in the time with Davey. When you teach, you learn twice. Because we were discipling each other also. I learned so many things from him. And, you know, so be faithful in a little and God will trust you with more. So we have to stay focused. We have to, because I said to you, over December last year, on the radio, there was not a lot of listeners. You know, I saw the stats, but the podcasts, yours, Henry, of what's on the circumcision of the heart, and besnijdenis van die hart, Bybelse beginsels. Mense luister nog steeds daarna.
Wonderful.
En dit is wonderlik. Hulle deel het met ander. So, ja, the podcast for now is the one for me, one of the best ways to disciple people that you can't disciple to get to them personally.
Absolutely, Freek. And I just want to also state, Freek, the way I understand it, and you know, this could be an interesting discussion. It belongs to no one. The owner of the podcast is Jesus.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to Freek. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Henry. I think that's the way I see it. You know, it is for the community and the people around us. You're just the facilitator of making the opening the library.
Yeah. And I can give you the stats now. Since we started with the transformation table, only the transformation, not Manne van die Woord, when we were in the beginning, only the transformation table, 2,800 people listen to it. That's a lot. If you have to go and disciple so many people, to be honest, Peter, Henry, this is a mega church.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And we don't ask money, it's for free. So you only have to, it's because it's audio. Yeah, we're going to go into the video, but the audio is so, it doesn't even take your data. And you know, yeah, the podcast is powerful. So let's just continue, and especially what we are doing now. This is going to be... And we trust the Lord that 70 will become 700 and 7,000 by His grace.
But even if it's just one, Freek, even if it's just one.
Yeah, but we had to start with one, man. So that's where we started. Mm. But to see, you know, I listened to a guy the other day in the gym, and he said on a podcast, he said, if you've got 50 people listening to your podcast every week, you're very successful. Not the 5,000 or the 50,000, 5 millions. It's not about listening, looking at the views, but that coming back. Because why? They're getting feed. They get food, and they grow. Mm. Did I tell you last week about Atman? I think I told the guys afterwards. We've got a guy who gave his life to the Lord, sawing one of our, when I still had the team, one of the videos in his bedroom of the guys testifying somewhere on YouTube. He gave his life to the Lord. A few days later, Atman walked into his working place. The guy that he saw on his phone, on the TV, walked into his, for him, it was a miracle. He's often, especially over December, sends me clips of podcasts that he records. When he listens to it, he records it on his phone. And he sends it to me, saying thank you. I learned something. So this is a powerful tool.
Yeah. And Freek, the one thing that we are learning with the campfire weekends is that what Nicu, and we talk about it often, what Nicu and Gideon teaches is very rarely what the people hear.
Yeah.
A guy will come back after a weekend and say, this is what I got from this weekend. And we ask ourselves the question, which weekend were you on? He said, no, the last one. But that's not what we thought. You know, but it is what the Holy Spirit interprets, that sunglasses, that part that comes in. Anthony, you had your hand up?
Menzo, can I just, before Anthony comes, the same guy that Freek was talking about now is currently at the hospital. His father-in-law is very critical there. He had to come to me. He actually took the day off to come today to me to have discipling and training with me. So unfortunately, they are at the hospital. So if Anthony or the last one maybe pray, please pray for him and his family there.
Thank you, Otman. Anthony?
I just wanted, you know, Freek said something last week that I think is very important. I'm realizing it now with people that I'm ministered to, is that people don't actually, they don't know how to get it, getting back to the basic, helping people to pray, showing people how to read the word and digest it. Those kinds of things, like people don't know how to pray. They pray a minute and then they don't know what to pray further. So they don't know how to pray. And we actually need to give them an example where you take his hand. We maybe one morning, we sit as a group and each of us, we pray in this circle. We all pray and we pray to God and we give them examples of how to pray. Getting back to the basic principles of what it is to be a child of God. And then the second thing I wanted to say is this, and I think this is very important. This is what it's been on my mind for quite a while, that you can't really fulfill the Great Commission if you do not put the Great Commandment first. You've got to love the Lord with your whole heart, with all your power and all your strength and all your mind in order for you to be able to do the Great Commission. Without putting the Great Commandment first, you're going to fail in that. And that's what a lot of people do. They become Christians, and then the next 3 weeks they want to start discipling people, and they want to become these great Christians. And then they go out, and they leave their work, and they fall into the ministry. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, they burnt out because they did not find the intimacy with God first. They had not. Well, there was a barbecue with the dads of squirt to sit at, and then they learned who God is, and they know who their father is, and they built the trust between them and the Lord. And they've gone through some difficult times, and the Lord is to begin with God geslaan to hulle stout was, and hulle het gesien, maar dis 'n liefdevolle ding. Because I got to tell you, discipline to me was an ugly thing. It was a bad thing. If someone reprimanded me, I didn't receive, I would immediately, the rebellion in me would stand up and say, no, who's this guy? Where does he come from? And so I had to, that's a part of me that was very, very hard to break. The Lord had to come and teach me what it is to receive his discipline. But the Great Commandment is more important than the Great Commission. You won't be able to fulfill the Great Commission if you don't fulfill the Great Commandment.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Anthony, discipline is love. Peter, you've got your hand up.
I just want to say this because you have just said now that how holy this work is, how it's Jesus by God. Because of that, we have to do our very best to ensure that our theology is accurate. And because of that, I want to put it out there, put myself out there. You said if you need to be disciplined, we must do that. I want to say exactly the same. Please, guys, if my theology is not quite accurate, or if there's something we need to maybe revisit it, maybe in our discussion, you'll see that your theology needs to be tweaked a bit. We need to have that happening so that we are trying to speak with one voice, and that the truth, you know, we want to be good teachers, discerning a good mentor or a good discipler. We want to be that. And so there it is. Please, phone me or stop me in my tracks and say, whoa, let's just discuss that or come back to that point later. Okay, guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Atman, are we going to call it a meeting, guys? Okay.
Maybe just add to what Peter just said. It's a very important thing, Peter. One of the biggest problems that we've come across in our ministry all over the country is wrong understanding of theological matters that has basically just been religious nonsense that has confused people. And it's actually a very serious problem. It's caused major splits and breakdowns, and we're dealing with one particular town in the Karoo where about 30 people have walked out over time out of a particular church because of a bad way in which the pastor, the leader, is doing things. And people, one of the farmers' wives wrote to me and sent me a photo of the front door of their house. She said, in Afrikaans, she said, I look forward to the time that you can cross the drempel of my front door again, because we need you to come in and help us and teach us. So there's a cry for somehow inherently people recognize if something's wrong, but they don't quite know what it is, but they want truth. They want truth with love and care and genuine concern, umkeer. And there's been lots of damage done by a theology that's self-based and lifting up self and not making Jesus Lord. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
and if I can just say quickly, that one of the scariest scriptures for me is that the traditions of the fathers belemmer die werk van die Heilige Gees.
Yeah.
And that frightens me, that we have got, particularly amongst a lot of our brothers, we've got traditions of the fathers. Communion is heilig. Net slechte ouens mag het doen, you know? And there are going to be huge bone crunching discussions.
Looking forward to those. The damage that has been done by false stories. You know, we are challenged. Not us on the group. I'm talking about me and some of my friends. With one of the guys are married to a girl, where the pastor told her dad when she was still a young girl, he must sell everything and go and teach or disciple somewhere else, and he did that. And her and her sister and her mother grew up, since she grew up very suffering without a dad because of this. And whenever we talk about anything about God, she walks away. You know, she hates, and it's not fair and it's not right. But I understand, you know, the damage. I once sat on the back of my of a bucky driving when we went hunting with a German guy that lives in South Africa. He was born here, but he studied in Germany as a I'm not sure what they call the clergy, you know, one of the very serious German churches. And he's got his doctorate in the damage that the German evangelists did in Africa. And it is a very interesting subject. You know, but yes, we're gonna have a lot of time to talk about that. It's gonna not be pretty, but it's gonna be necessary.
That's why Reinhard Bonnke said he has to come back to Africa as a German evangelist to fix it.
Okay, yes. Talk about a man that's not scared of taking on the difficult challenges. Atman, I want you to close for us in prayer, if you don't mind, and also let's pray for your brother that is going through tough times. And I see Mvuma's got his hand up. So Mvuma, if you don't mind, we're just going to ask Atman to close for us in prayer, and then you can go for it.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for everyone, our insights in this discussion, Lord. The heart of your heart, Lord, of discipling. Thank you for the foundation that's been laid, Lord, and thank you that you will guide us further to make this a very successful effort, Lord, to bring out glory to you, to help each others, each of us, to be teachable, but also to help others on this group, Lord. We need each other, and we are so grateful, Lord, for this opportunity to learn and to equip ourselves. We pray for our friend and brother. Lord, you know his heart. You know his desire to know more of you, and that's why he wanted to come here today. But Father, be with them and be with their family, there with his father-in-law. Only you know, Lord. We know him, but you know his heart. We bless you, and we pray, Lord, that you will comfort them even there whilst they are there at the hospital. Pray for our families also, Lord, and for the day ahead. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Atman.